Always good to be in the house of the Lord, and I enjoyed the good song, He Touched Me. When you come to God's house, and if God doesn't touch you, you don't get very much. You see, I'm glad when I come to the house of the Lord and God touches me, then I can go out and rejoice in knowing that I've been with the Lord. And the Bible tells us to come to worship. You go out and serve, but you come to worship. And John 4:24, it said, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I praise the Lord for the privilege of coming and worshiping with you in this Sunday night service. I was supposed to have been here three or four weeks ago, and I lost my date book down in Alabama, and I don't know where I'm to go, so I'm just going here and there, hoping I get to the right place. I do know I'm going to heaven, praise God. That's the best thing I know, and that's the best thing you can know, that you're going to the city, and what a privilege it is to come. Somebody asked me if I'm going to preach on prophecy. No, I'm not going to preach on prophecy tonight. I love prophecy. I'm in the book of the Revelation on the radio. I think I've been on the book, or in the book of the Revelation since January, and I think we're in the 7th chapter every day. And I love the book of Revelation. I love to preach on prophecy, but I'm not going to preach tonight about prophecy. I don't want to preach on prophecy because I believe God wants me to give you something from the Word tonight. Amen. About the presence of the Lord. And if we have God's presence with us, we won't have to worry about a thing.
Amen.
And I'm glad I can come be with you. I appreciate my wife coming. I'm going to have her to stand, give us a word of testimony. It's always good to have her. And I don't get to preach to her much, but when I do, I really preach to her. Say amen. In a moment, I'm going to speak to you about Joseph in the Bible. I love Joseph, the Old Testament. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Somebody said, maybe sometime I can come preach on prophecy. I heard a guy on the radio the other day, he had a little mixed up on prophecy. A lot of people, you know, they get things kind of... This one, he was really mixed up. Of course, he might have been... It may be truer than I thought. He was preaching away, and he said, two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Said, two will be watching television, and both of them will be left. But so it may be more truth than I thought along that line. But anyway... Good to be here. It's good to be with David. I've known David. I don't know how long I've known you, David. And he's been around in meetings, and I appreciate him. I appreciate you. Now, I want you to look in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, if you will. And in a moment, we're going to stand for the reverencing of the reading of the Word of God. And in the 39th chapter, it talks about this man, Joseph. I appreciate reading about Joseph. As far as I know, he's the only man in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus, there was no recorded sin against.
Amen.
He's the greatest type of the Lord in the Bible. His name was Joseph. He had a full brother named Benjamin. His mother was Rachel. And it's a marvelous story here in the book of Genesis. I want you to stand. Let's read the scripture tonight. And I believe that God will bless. I'll read the first 6 verses of chapter 39. And then we'll note a couple of other verses. The Bible said in verse 1, chapter 39, the book of Genesis, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar and the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Now, that's a wonderful thing right there.
Amen.
I mean, Joseph found grace in the sight of that old Egyptian, that Pharaoh. And notice what it says. And he made him oversee over the house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he was made the overseer in his house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now, let me stop right along up there. You get the right person around you, God will bless you because of that other person. Did you know that?
Amen.
Now, God says in the book of Genesis chapter 12, if you'll bless those Jews, he said, I'll bless you. And every time I pass a Jew, I just pat him on the back and say, God bless you. Amen. You said, that's silly. No, I'm looking for a blessing in return. God said, if I bless him, that he'd bless me. And here it says, because of Joseph being in the house of the Egyptian, that God blessed the Egyptian's house.
Yes,
I believe that it's an advantage on being around people that love God. And the Bible says, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now that's a wonderful thing. Everybody looked at him and said, boy, I'll tell you, he's a good man. He loves God. And that's the way it ought to be with all of God's people. And the Bible said he's well favored. You know, a lot of people think if you're a Christian, everybody's got to hate you. You got to hate everybody. But that wasn't so with Joseph. Everybody said, boy, I'll tell you, that fellow's right. And I believe if we're right with the Lord, that we can be that type of person. I think we'll be well favored as far as our living for the Lord. Look at four verses here before I let you be seated. The theme of what I'm going to speak on tonight. Verse 2, the first part of it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. If you will, look at the last verse in this chapter and in the middle of it. But let's read it all here because we'll see the fourth time in one chapter it said, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. This is repetition. God doesn't have to say anything but once for it to be so. But when God says something four times in one chapter, it must be important. And here's what he said in verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, I like that. I want you to look at it again here. It says, and the Lord was with him. And wherever Joseph went, the Lord was with him. Now, that's all that'll matter. When you leave this service tonight, if everywhere you go, you know the Lord's with you. If you know the presence of the Lord, praise God, you won't have a tomorrow that'll be too dark. You won't have a disappointment that'll be too great. If you know that the Lord's with you, he'll see you through every difficulty. He'll see you through every trial. He'll see you through every tear. He'll be with you. And if you read the life and study the life of this man, Joseph, my, what a life he had. And I'll try to show it to you tonight from the Word of God. But I want you to be seated. And if you will, I want you to bow for just a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, what a privilege it is to come to the house of the Lord. I'm glad you let us come and worship with these dear people. I thank you for Brother Henry and his ministry. And I thank you, our Father, for all of his people. As we came in, Lord, we saw the great work they're doing for missions. They're throwing out the lifeline. They're trying to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from sin, and pit in the grave. I pray that you bless their mission work. Bless their work here in the Sunday school effort in the coming year. Lord, we know that people are hungry to hear the Word of God. And if we'll just go out and get them and bring them here, what a joy it'd be not only to say that they've reached 100 in this Bible class, but to know that 100 people would come to study the blessed Word of God. I'm glad that we can and see victory, and so I pray that you'd bless them in the days to come. Now, Father, you know our need tonight, and I pray in Jesus' name that your name would be lifted, and that tonight when we leave this place, we'll be able to say, the Lord is with us. Oh, I'm glad, praise God, I can feel your presence, and I'm glad that you're with us tonight. I'm glad you said, whether two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And I'm glad you're with us tonight. Now bless us as we look at the life of Joseph. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on the subject, and the Lord was with Joseph. I don't have anything that you could say about a man that would be greater than that God's with him. You might say that he's a great orator or he's a great singer. But when you pass someone tomorrow and you sense the presence of the Lord, that's the greatest thing, bless your heart, that can be said about any man, that God's with him. Many of our churches, you can't say that God's with him. Many of our so-called Christians, it doesn't look like God's with him. But everywhere Joseph went, the Bible said the Lord was with him. Now let me give you two things by way of introduction, just to get started tonight, that I found when I first got saved. You see, when I first became a Christian, I was hungry to find out what was in the Word of God. And God gave me two promises. My, I've always kept them precious. The first two promises I learned from the Word of God. The first promise, he said, you'll never thirst again. I'm glad that there had been a time that I was a thirsty man, but I came to the right source. And he gave me water that was not in the well. And from that day on, I've never had the thirst after the things of this world. And the second promise he gave me, he said, you'll never be alone again. Lo, I'll go with you all your ways. And I'm glad wherever I've gone, the Lord Jesus has been with me. And isn't it wonderful tonight to look at the life of Joseph and say, praise the Lord. God was with Joseph. But oh, what wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things it is to say, and the Lord's with us. And the Lord's in our midst. And the Lord is going to bless us. Now you say, preacher, by way of introduction, let me give you three places that God was with Joseph, a type of Christ. First, in the pit. You remember they threw Joseph into the pit. It was a type of death. And I tell you, Joseph had to die out to the things of the world. I believe that here is a type of death when they cast him in the pit. Our Lord had to go to Calvary and had to die. The Bible said he had to taste death. And I'm so glad for Joseph. The Bible said the Lord was with him in the pit. Number two, the Lord was with him in the palace. This was a place of glamour. He had to be tested, had to be tried. And in that place, he was true to his God. And they knew that God was with him. Not only the pit, not only the palace, but God was with him in prison. He was there because of a crime that he did not commit, but God was with him. The Bible said even those that headed up to prison knew that he's well favored and knew that God was with him. But I found five places, and if you have your pencil tonight, I want you to jot them down where the Lord was with Joseph. Now you say, preacher, where? We'll start with S. First of all, God was with him as a shepherd lad when he was a little boy out there in the field taking care of the flock. Joseph knew that God was with him. I'm glad, my friend, that when you're a child and hear the word of God, what a blessing it is to know that God's with you. I was a preaching here a couple of 3 years ago, and a little boy came up, and he was about 6 or 7, and he couldn't be still. He's just a praising God. And some dignified lady came up and said, aren't you afraid for him? I said, no, ma'am. God's on him. I'm afraid for the rest of you around here that's dry and dusty and dead. And God's not with you. And a little boy come up after I'd get through preaching, and the tears trickling down his cheeks. And he'd just stand there and say, thank you, Lord. I knew that God was with him. And here's Joseph, the lad, the shepherd lad. And God was with him. You say, how do you know? By three things. As a lad, a shepherd lad, by his devotion. You see, he loves spiritual things. If you're devoted to Jesus, brother, you'll love the house of God. If you're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll love this precious word. If you're devoted to the Lord Jesus, you'll love the house of God. They won't have to prime and pump and do everything in the world to get you to come. Brother, when I got saved, I had a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his house was first, and what a blessing. He was a devoted shepherd lad. Not only did they know it by his devotion, but secondly, they knew it by his dress. You see, he had an unusual coat. Praise the Lord. His daddy made him a coat of many colors, and that separated him from the other brothers. That made him different. I'm glad, brother, tonight, that when you talk about dress, praise God, our dress ought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to dress so that people know that we've been with Jesus. I've said this many times. I don't like to say it when my wife's here, but I'm going to say it tonight. I never had to apologize for the way she dressed. I never had to fear that I'd go down the street and she'd have a pair of blue jeans or something. Go downtown and see her in something that didn't glorify the Lord. I want to say to you tonight, here's a little shepherd lad. They knew that God was with him. First, because of his devotion. Secondly, because of his dress. Now, number three, they knew it because of his dreams. If you ever get to the place that you can't dream. I remember when God saved me, I'd ride down the road and I'd have a dream about reaching the masses with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a church gets to the place that church doesn't dream anymore and doesn't have a vision, is what the Bible calls it. The Bible said you perish, and the Bible speaks of that dream. Little Joseph said, boys, I've had a dream. Said, someday you'll bow before me. He said, God has shown me in a dream. I want you to know, my friend, that God was with Joseph
as a shepherd lad. Number two, God was with Joseph when he was sold by his brethren. He was sold into slavery. He was sold as a slave. But God was with him. Here Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver and 30 shekels of shame. The little Joseph was sold, and it really means he was betrayed. And I couldn't understand that for a while. Why would a godly lad, why would he be sold by his wicked brethren? Did you know God was with him in that? God said, out yonder, you understand, they mean it for evil, but it'll come out for good. And if you'll study the Word of God, every betrayal in the Bible, not only Joseph being betrayed, not only our Lord being betrayed, but every betrayal in the Word of God, my friend, ended up in a blessing. If old Judas hadn't betrayed the Lord, you hear me, Jesus would not, of course I know he did, but he betrayed our Lord, and out of it Jesus went to Calvary, and praise God, because of Calvary, we're saved, and thank God, we're on our way to the city of God, we're the children of God, we're the redeemed church of the Lord, and I'm glad the scripture says, his brother sold him, but if the Lord was with him, he was with him, my friend, when he'd been sold. But let me give you the third place that God was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph when he was seduced. The woman, the wicked woman, tried to seduce him. And I want to say to you, the world will try to seduce you. If you live godly and holy and righteous in this world, the world will have its allurements. And the world will try to seduce you. You remember Joseph was in the house of the leader of Egypt, and the leader said, I can leave it in your hands. You're a good man. And boy, I like this. He said, you just go ahead and take everything in your hand. And he slipped away. And the man's wife got to looking at Joseph, and her eyes fell upon Joseph, and the devil caused her to lust after Joseph. And she came to Joseph and said, lie with me, lie with me. But I'm glad Joseph would not lie with her. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? She reached out to grab him, and he had a J.C. Penney coat on, and all she got was his coat. Hallelujah. I'm glad she didn't get Joseph. I'm glad that Joseph, the Lord was with it in the hour of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 said, with every temptation, God will make a way of escape, and you're not going to be tempted above that which you're able. No man is tempted above that which he's able to bear. I'm glad God will always make a way of escape. And so he made a way of escape for this man Joseph. I went to Columbia last year where I pastored 35 years ago. I tried to pastor. I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist. But I went back and we went down to Main Street. The big hotel is tearing it down. And as I stood there, I thought about Billy Sunday when he came to the 1922 campaign there. Stood in a window, looked down Main Street in Columbia, South Carolina, and the tears streamed down Sunday's face. And you know what Billy Sunday said? They're like a sheep without a shepherd. Oh, they're straying away from God. Oh, we like sheep, he said, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And as he stood there, he looked out the window and said, God, give me the city. But down the road, there were some wicked men that said, we're trapping. We'll trap him. We'll hire a prostitute. And we'll bring that prostitute up there. And we'll knock on the door. And we'll get her to take most of her clothes off. And we'll have a photographer there. And when Billy Sunday opens that door, we'll push that woman in and she'll grab him around the neck and we'll take his picture. And when we take his picture, they'll never know that he wasn't inviting that woman into his room. And we know that they'll believe us if they catch we can catch a picture of her arms around his neck. And so they got the trap all set, just like this woman set the trap for Joseph, to seduce him. And when they knocked upon the door there in Columbia, South Carolina, you know what happened? Thank God, old Billy Sunday prayed, and God said, don't open that door. And he said, get you a chair and look out of the transom window. And he got him a chair and looked out and saw what he was going to do. And he said, sorry, boys, the Holy Ghost was here before you got here. And he told me what you're trying to do. And he said, you'll have to try it again some other way. I
will not be seduced by opening this door. I'm glad Joseph, my friend, found that God was with him in the hour. When a woman, a wicked woman, tried to seduce him, what a blessing it is. I never told this. My wife, I think, heard it, but I don't know if she's ever heard it or not. But see, I was preaching before we got, before we met. I was preaching before I met her. Now, she married a preacher. Now, some of you, you've met ladies that didn't marry preachers, but I was already preaching. I was pastoring a full-time church and wasn't even qualified. You say, you wasn't? No, sir. It said, they'd be the husband of one wife, and I didn't have any. Praise God. I wasn't qualified, but I remember. I'll tell you how I met her, because since I got off on that, listen, I met her in a cafeteria. And I was with a Baptist preacher, and we were standing there, and the little young fellas. And I was going to come to Bible college, and we were standing there. A little fella, now you young people won't know what this is, but you older folks. A little fella about that high, he was a midget. And he had a little red bandana on, and he came into that that day in the cafeteria, and he said, "Call for Philip Morris! Johnny calling." How many of you remember Johnny used to do that? Here's a few of you. And little old Johnny came over, and he came over where I was, and he said to me, he said, "A cigarette, Philip Morris." He had them in little sample packages, two in the package. I said, "No, I don't smoke here, and I'm not going to smoke here after." But I laughed, and you know what he did? He smiled. He went over to where Doc was sitting with some ladies that worked at the bank, some young ladies. And boy, I knew that they must have been ahead of the Women's Missionary Circle, or they sang in the choir, surely. Because when little John went over and said, "Philip Morris, call for Philip Morris," they grabbed them just like, boy, they just couldn't hardly wait to cram them in their mouth. And they asked Doc back there, said, "Philip Morris?" And I said, "No, don't smoke." And I said, "Woo! Praise God, I knew that. First time I ever saw her." And I remember I was preaching a little Methodist church, and I was whole revival while I was in school. And I used to have a little green car called a Green Hornet, and I was skinny. You can't believe that. Had no hair and a Liberace. Now, that's the truth. And boy, I was in this little old church, and I had my mind on one thing, just a preaching and a carrying on. I'd come up there, and I'd cut wagon wheels. You think I'm wild now. You ought to have been around there then. I was worse than the Home Ranger. I'd ride the pulpit, and I mean, you talk about a time I'd have it. And this little girl came. Devil always sent some. And she said to a lady there, one of the dear, precious Methodist ladies, said, "I'm going to hug Mae Jackson's neck before this meeting's over." And she said, "Now, I wouldn't try that if I was you. I didn't even know the girl. Never seen the girl. But I knew she came every night, and she'd stick her hand up for prayer. Boy, the devil had it all fixed up. And I believe it was only about Friday or Saturday night she came to the altar, and she was just a-crying. And I thought, surely she's sincere. And I said to the lady, I said, 'You pray with this girl here. I believe she wants to be saved.' And the lady got down and prayed with her. And as she prayed with her, that girl said, 'I want Brother Mace to pray with me.' So I said, 'All right, I'll pray with her.' And I got my foot where I could really, and I got down there, and she reached over to reach out to get me around the neck. And when she did, I said, 'Uh-oh, you're not hugging my neck.' And it embarrassed her. And that lady said after the service, said, I told her I'd bet her a quarter that she'd never hug your neck, Brother Mays. You see, the devil is out to seduce. And the devil is out to cause somebody to stumble. But during the time when Joseph was going to be seduced by this wicked woman, listen to what the Bible, the Lord was with him. And the Lord delivered him. It's a blessing to know that tonight. Tomorrow, when the devil tries to seduce you, I'm glad there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, and with every temptation, God will lead you out. So God was with him when he was seduced by a wicked woman, number four. And this is one of the most important parts of the message tonight. God was with him when he stood before his brethren years later after they'd sold him down into Egypt. Now, it's because of time. I won't take too much on this, but I want you to listen to me. The Bible said that there was a famine in the land of Canaan. Don't you? A famine! Now, there ought to be a famine in Canaan. Bless God, there ought to be something in Canaan all the time. But the Bible said there's a famine. And when a famine came, old Jacob, that God had knocked his stripes on her, he told his boys, he said, "Now, the 11 of you, and 10 of you is going down to Egypt, and I'm going to keep Benjamin. I'm not going to take a chance on Benjamin being killed by beasts like my boy Joseph was." But said, "I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to get into Egypt. And when you get into Egypt, I want you to buy corn and bring it back." And said, We'll be able to eat and we'll not starve. Go to Egypt. They got corn in Egypt. You know why they had corn in Egypt? Because Joseph was down there in Egypt. And Joseph had interpreted the dream. And he said to the Pharaoh, he said, you saw seven fat cattle come up out of the sea. Then you saw seven lean cattle come up out of the sea. And the lean cattle devoured the fat cattle. That means, he said, King of Pharaoh, there'll be 7 years of prosperity. There'll be 7 years of plenty. There'll be 7 years of banner crops. But after that, there'll be 7 years of famine. And the whole world will have to look to Egypt. And brother, they did. And so those boys came to Egypt. And when they came to Egypt, they went in the palace. They sent them over there to the governor. Guess who was the governor? They said, you'll have to see the governor of the great state of Egypt. And when he walked out, he looked and he knew who they were, but they knew not who he was. Joseph talked to an interpreter because he didn't want them to know that he knew what they're saying. Can't you just see them whispering to one another? Joseph heard every word of it. They didn't realize that Joseph knew it all. And he stood before his brethren. And here's what he said. He said, you're spies. They said, no, we're not spies, Your Honor. The governor, we're not spies. He said, you're not. Well, what are you? They said, we're shepherds. He said, is that right? How many is in your family? And here's what they said. They said, we got an old daddy. He's crippled. He's a crippled old man. He said, how is your daddy? He said, oh, they said, he's well, your governor. He's well, your governor. He said, all right. How many brothers do you have? They said, there's 10 of us here, and we got one that is not. And Joseph, he knew that was him. He is not. And said, we've got one that Papa wouldn't let leave the house. His name's Benjamin. Said he is the son of Rachel, along with the one that is not. And Joseph said, you're spies. And they said, no, we're not spies, Your Honor. And he touched old Joseph's heart. And he went back and he said, you wait here. And he went back and put his, took a towel or something and wiped away the tears. And he came back and he said, what do you want? They said, we want corn, Your Honor. Said, our papa's waiting and we need corn. And Joseph said, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll jab corn. But if you ever need it again, you'll have to bring your brother back. Oh, listen. Simeon jumped up and said, why, he'd die. His hair had turned white as snow. Why, Your Honor, it couldn't be that we bring him back. Daddy would go to the grave a weeping man. And Joseph said, you hear me? He said, I'll keep you, Simeon. Whatever your name is, and I'll keep you till they bring your younger brother back when they come the next time. And so Joseph said, you can go. He called the steward over and he said to the steward, said, now listen, fill their bags up with plenty of corn. And when you get them all filled up, he said, I want you to put your money back in there. They don't owe me nothing. Oh, he said, they sold me, they betrayed me. He said, put your money back. He said, I want to show kindness. And the Bible said Joseph showed kindness when they stood before him. He showed kindness, which means grace. I'm glad when I stood before the Lord condemned and I had betrayed God. Oh, he showed me kindness. And what a blessing, my friend. He showed grace in the time of my need. Now you say, what happened? They stopped at the first little oasis. One of them said, boy, better check this and see how the corn's doing. He opened it up and he said, boy, you won't believe what's in here. He said, I bet you they'll say we're sure enough spies now. He said, my money's still in the bag with all the corn I needed. And the next one opened, the next one. And boy, they closed those bags up and they went home. And old Jacob was waiting on them. He walked out there hobbling on that. He said, boys, how come it's so long? Where's Simeon? Said, the governor kept him down in Egypt's bondage. The governor kept him. And little old Benjamin ran up there and said, how was it down there? And Judah said, son, if we ever have to go back, Papa will die, but you've got to go with us. And old Jacob said, it'll never be that we'll ever let this boy stand in Egypt. It'll never be. But they said, Papa, you don't understand. We've got the corn and we've got the supplies, but our money's still in the bags. We don't understand it in the mouth of the bags. He said, well, forget it. And then after a while, their bags went low and they got to where they had to have something to eat. And Judah went in and he said, Papa, let me take Benjamin. And he said, you can kill my boy. Papa, I'll be responsible. You can kill me if I bring not Benjamin back. Egypt. Brother, listen to me. There's coming a day when you're going to have to stand before the sovereign God of heaven. There's coming a day when men's going to have to stand before the governor of the universe, the judge. The Lord Jesus will be the judge in that time. Now, watch this quickly. And he sent honey and almonds along. And he said, I want you to tell him that we're not spies. And they get Benjamin and start on that long journey down to Egypt. They get to Egypt. When they get to Egypt, they walk in, and the governor walks out, and they stand before him again. And he looks down, and they say, and this is Benjamin. The Bible said Joseph got over real close to him. Boy, he wanted to be close to that brother that he loved. Let me tell you something. When you meet God's children and you meet the brethren, you want to be close to the brethren. And brother, he stepped over close by his brother. And he said, how's your daddy? Oh, he said, he's old, but he's well. And Joseph said, you're a bunch of spies. And they said, no, we're not. And he said, bring Simeon, that guy here I've had in jail. And he brought him out, and he said, y'all talk, I'm going back here. And the Bible said Joseph went back, and he was so torn up, he wept aloud. And when he wept aloud, listen to what he did. He came back. The Bible said he washed his face. And he came back, and he said, all right, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell you the supplies. And he slipped over to Stuart, and he said, you see this silver cup? You put that in the mouth of that baby brother, Benjamin, and said, you let him get down here. Down here to the first oasis, and you overtake them, and you search every bag, and you tell them before you search that somebody stole them the silver cup of the governor, and whosoever bag it shall be found, he shall be killed. And they opened, the Bible said, from the eldest to the youngest, and no silver cup was found. But when the steward opened that last bag of Benjamin, he looked up and he said, you're the one that's going to die. And they took him back. And when they took him back, Judah pleaded and said, don't do it. Don't kill him, kill me. Said, my daddy's gray hairs will go to the grave. Please, Mr. Governor. And he said, how many brothers have you got? And for the first time, they gave sorrow. They gave repentance. They gave to Joseph the assurance that they repented. And he said, one, he's not. And old Joseph said, excuse me. And he went back and cried. And he came out and made this announcement when he stood before him. Three words. I am Joseph. Praise God. I'm glad. All Jesus has to do is to say, I am Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad that Joseph came out and said, I am Joseph. Thy brother, that you sold. He said, go down and get Papa and bring him back. They said, he won't believe. I said, yeah, I'll fill your bags and then I'll fix some special wagons for him. And you tell him when he sees the wagons, he'll know that his son lives in Egypt. And they took that great caravan and went back. They rushed in and Benjamin said, Papa, you'll not believe it. And Simeon said, I'm back, Papa. And Judah said, we're home, Papa. And he said, but why? Why are you sappy? They said, Joseph is alive in Egypt. Praise God, I'm glad I serve a living Savior. Why, intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us all tonight. And what a blessing to know that you can talk with him. He's alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now watch this. And they said, Joseph told us to tell you to come down. And he went down. By the way, I won't tell you, he spent 70 years down there with Joseph before he died. But he had to be assured that Joseph was alive. And the Bible said, when Judah said, Papa, go to the window and look out the wagons that he sent you, you'll know. And when that old crippled man dragged that leg over to the window, I see the tears streaming down. God had molded and tendered his heart. And Jacob looked out and said, he lives. My son lives in Egypt. And I'm glad I've been to the empty tomb. Thank God the wagons are full. And it says he lives. My son lives. And Christ is alive, and praise the Lord. Let me give you something quickly. When they stood before Joseph, he could have been bitter. He could have said, I'll kill you. You took me and you threw me in a pit. You took my coat and you dipped it in the blood of an animal and lied to my daddy. You let me come down here and suffer for a while. But you meant it for evil, but God's meant it for good. Because he said the Lord was with me. Oh, the blessing of knowing that God was with him. Now, he could have retaliated. He could have been bitter, mean, and got even. But the Bible said he showed kindness. And it means grace. He showed grace to those lying, conniving, crooked brothers. Thank God. I'm glad Jesus showed me when I was crooked and when I was mean. When I hated God, Jesus showed me kindness and gave me grace for my sin. I'm glad for that. Not only do we see that God was with Joseph when he stood before him or before his brethren, but last tonight, God was with Joseph when he sealed him in a coffin. It says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 26, that's what it says. And Joseph, 110 years old, and he died. That was what he said. And they embalmed him. Did you know you can't beat those Egyptians in embalming people? Brother, they embalmed him. And the Bible said after they embalmed Joseph, listen, they put him in a coffin in Egypt. But when they closed that lid and sealed it, they always sealed it. You know what they did? Listen to me. It was called a chest. C-H-E-S-T. If you'll turn in your Bible, are you listening? To 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9. There was a chest that sat there at the tabernacle. It was called a hope chest. What every girl has before she gets married. Every girl that gets married and plans for it usually has a chest at home. And you know what she'll do while she's getting ready, my friend, for that wedding? Every day or so, she'll put something in that chest. And after the wedding, she'll open it up and look in her hope chest. Did you know that when a Christian dies, praise God, it's not a coffin, it's a hope chest. And brother, when God places us in that casket, the Bible said they put him in a coffin. But that same word, coffin, means hope chest in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9. And so when they sealed that box, Joseph was carried out. But he was in a hope chest and not a coffin. What a blessing it is when you stand at the casket there at a funeral home and you have to say bye to mom or bye to dad or bye to that little girl or bye to that little boy. If they know the Lord and they seal it, they seal a hope in there called a hope chest. And the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, praise God, he'll descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God and the God in Christ. You say, what's going to happen? They're coming out of those hope chests. Praise God, they'll be changed in the moment. In the twinkling of an eye, they'll be carried out of that hope chest to meet the Lord in the air. Never forget this happened up in Pennsylvania. I was there years ago with Brother Thomas. He's dead now. I've had a few friends along the way. Earl Thomas was my friend. It was in a Catholic, very Catholic, saturated place. And I never will forget a word of it. He'd get out there and Jane, his wife, and say, Mays, you will ever know you don't have a friend in Georgia. You got a friend in Pennsylvania. Said, and they start talking about you down here at the restaurant and you on the radio and asking for money. Said, if they say anything about you, Earl, chews them out. He said he'll jump over the counter to get them and said, bless God, that's my friend. He's God's man. He's preaching that word. You better leave Mae Jackson alone. But I remember one old woman. She was wicked as a devil up in Clarion, Pennsylvania. And I'd go there every year. She'd cursed God and cursed the church. But she had a sweet daughter. And I'd preached one night on a hope chest. Not this message, but I preached on a hope chest, a spiritual hope chest. And I got through. That young daughter came up and she said, I'm going to pray for Mama. She works down here. Boy, she's wicked as a devil. Said, it'll be a coffin we'll put her in. And the next year after I talked to her about that hope chest, that old wicked mother died. And Earl said, I believe it was in the providence of God, Mays, that you'd be here in Clarion. So let's go down to the funeral home. And I went down to the funeral home, and they don't have the warmness maybe down there that they have here when the whole church will bring food out and all. But that wicked woman died, and those people over there at Zion Baptist, they were so kind. They brought food even down to the funeral home, had a place over there for coffee and sandwiches. And I walked in, and I never forget that young girl. She walked up, and she said, Preacher, I'm glad to see you. I want you to come over here and look at Mama. She said, I'm going to look at her tomorrow for the last time. Because, you see, she's been buried in a coffin. I'm going to be buried in a hope chest. And I'll come out of there in the first resurrection. But Mama will wait 1,000 years, and she'll come up with the wicked. Said she'll never have the privilege of being with us in heaven. And I walked over there, and the tears streaked down that young lady's face. And she reached over there and said, Brother Earl, Brother Mays, I want to touch Mama. And we waited while she touched her mother. She said she's so cold. And this lid will fall tomorrow, and I'll never see her again. Said, I don't have any hope, Brother Mays. She said if I had that much hope, that someday I'd get to see Mama. Said she drank and she was wicked, but she was my mama. Oh, she said, Brother Mays. She said, I want you to know. And I appreciated that message on the hope chest. And I had never had anybody say that just like that. I went out, me and Brother Thomas had the funeral the next day. And then years later, Brother Thomas on Saturday was sitting in a chair. And I was on WPIT in Pittsburgh. And he said, Jane, Mays needs some money. And she said, well, we're going to prayer meeting tonight, Earl. We'll bait it on the way. He said, no, we won't wait till tonight. And bless God, Mays said he needs it now. Just like that's going to make all the difference in the world. And you know what? He got his checkbook. He's a kind of a crippled fellow. Had a little limp in his foot. His step. He said, I'm writing this check to old Mays. I'm going up for right now. And I'm going to mail it. And Brother Earl Thomas went up to Clarion Post Office, Clarion, Pennsylvania, and put that in. And Jane said, God bless you, Mays. I hope you get what you need. Turned around. They went back over to the little house on the hill there in Clarion. He sat down in the chair, and she was getting things ready. And she said, it's time to get something to eat, Earl. We're going to prayer meeting at the church. And he didn't move. She said, Earl, come on to supper, Earl. We'll have to eat early. And she went in there, and he had his Bible open. And he dropped his head, and he'd gone home to be with Jesus. She called me, and she said, Mays, last thing old Earl did, he couldn't wait to help you. Said he was your friend. But said we put him in a hope chest. Said we're going to see him again one morning. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm glad that the Lord was with Joseph when they sealed him in that casket. When they sealed him in that hope chest, God was with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. My mother used to say to me, regardless of where you go, you don't have to fear if you know the Lord's with you. I don't care what happens tomorrow to you, beloved, if the Lord's by your side. And if you know that you're in fellowship with Him and you're in tune with Him and you're walking with Him, thank God there's no burden that'll be too heavy. There's no sorrow that'll be too deep. I'm glad He'll be there with you. Yeah. Father, thank you for these moments we've had to come to be with Brother Henry and the good people here. I trust that something was said about Joseph and the Lord being with him. Now, tomorrow at school, these young people will know that he's with him when he's a shepherd's lad. Oh, he's with him when he was sold by his brethren. He's with him when a woman tried to seduce him. He's with him when he stood before those that betrayed him. He's with him when they sealed him in that coffin in Egypt. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that you said you'd never leave us and you'd never forsake us, but you'd go with us to the end. Blessed be your name. Now speak to our hearts. Now while our hips are bowed before I close this prayer, I want to thank you for coming and thank you for being here. Thank Brother Henry for having me over. I want to ask you something tonight. I always ask 3 things in my meetings across the country. Number one, I ask, how many of you know that you're born again, saved by grace, and totally committed to Jesus' will? I mean, you know that there's nothing.